whether you cross the Atlantic, the Pacific, or the Rio to make your way, or up the Mississippi to make your way to Chicago, we welcome you here. That is the culture of this city, not just historically. It's a culture of major cities throughout the United States, big, medium, and small. And we cannot be in a position where we have this false choice between the values of who we are and what we want our children to become, and also the undermining of a police department's philosophy of community policing.
That's Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, yesterday announcing his lawsuit against the federal government for denying certain types of policing funds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I was thinking here, a good friend of mine mentioned this to me last night, and I thought it was a brilliant idea. The federal government should file a counterclaim, series of counterclaims against Chicago for failing to uphold the rule of law and cooperate with federal immigration officials. And in that counterclaim, you should demand, they should demand depositions of law enforcement officials, critical law enforcement officials, who will give their real opinion, their truthful opinion, because they'll have to because they're under oath, about what the sanctuary policies have done to their neighborhoods, the neighborhoods that they police. Wouldn't you love to get those depositions? Oh, can you imagine what the police officers would say under oath, even about Rahm Emanuel? That, now, that would be a counterclaim that I would love to file. And so you bring it. Bring on these suits. Guess what? Get ready to open up your files, because we're going to read everything, every communication you've ever sent on this issue. And we're going to depose all of the relevant law enforcement officials and the victims of illegal immigrant crime. They're going to tell the truthful story about what's happened. And we're going to go through the lies from the left on how supposedly sanctuary cities, they claim, don't have higher levels of crime. And of course, that is just a complete crock. It's basically a scenario where tens of thousands of criminals have been allowed to go free because these left-wing mayors have decided they're going to throw in with the latest craze of victim status mentality on the, you know, with the illegal immigrants. So they've just made their own population vulnerable. And I'll give you the nitty-gritty on that in a few moments. Joining us now, Senator David Perdue, who is fantastic on this issue. You saw him last week at the White House when they announced this RAISE Act to cut in half the number of legal immigrants who come to the United States and require that people are self-sustaining and know English and aren't just flooding the marketplace with more low-skilled labor. He joins us now. Senator, great to talk to you. How are you?
Hi, Laura. Hope you're well.
Let's talk about the sanctuary cities issue. We'll get into the RAISE Act. But I think the federal government should file counterclaims in all of these cases and really get the documents and get the depositions of these law enforcement.
I agree more. I agree. I tell you another thing I'd like to do. I'd like to have Rahm Emanuel do what I did. He's the mayor of Chicago. I'd like for him to meet the parents of Kate Steinle out in San Francisco that was murdered by one of these guys that was in the safe haven of San Francisco, had been convicted and deported 8 times, got back in illegally, and then killed, murdered. Case finally. I mean, this goes on every day in our city. For him to say this is about values is absolutely ridiculous. It's all about defying the federal government. These cities are disobeying federal law. And all the federal law enforcement people are doing is asking these cities to give over these convicted felons who we know are in the cities. That's it. That's all we're asking them to do.
Well, I was thinking about the Democrats going to the American people in 2018. And I know they're part of the resistance, along with some, frankly, of your fellow senators who really don't seem to want Trump to succeed either. But you go to your constituents and you tell them, huh, we're actually working to make it easier for people to come here illegally and stay here and shield them and protect them as the Trump administration is trying to clean up the streets and make things a little bit better on the rule of law front. But our goal is to actually protect the lawbreakers and not cooperate with the federal government that's trying to put some teeth back into immigration law. I just don't understand how that's a winning agenda for them. I really don't.
Well, it's not. If you look at the population, you certainly see that the most Americans disagree with it. As a matter of fact, over almost three-fourths of Americans, Laura, favor an immigration system that is limited to the worker and their immediate family. Today, we have chained immigration. We are actually encouraging people without skills to come here. And, you know, a worker can come into this country today, bring their immediate family and their extended family, and they can do it forever. And so what we have is a system where only one out of 15 immigrants coming into the United States today comes in with a skill. And that leads to today the reality that over half the immigrants in our country live in households that are in the social welfare system. This is a failed immigration policy. I can't understand why anybody would disagree with a proven system that we're proposing, and we can talk about that in a minute. But what we have right now is just simply not working.
No, it's not. It's not working. And people like Marco Rubio and Jeff Flake and John McCain, they are going to do everything in their power to resist the Trump immigration agenda. And I don't know ultimately what they really think when it comes to the sanctuary city deal. I mean, maybe they're better on that, I guess, because 80% of the country is against sanctuary cities. 80%. But I think Trump is playing this exactly right. I think exposing these left-wing mayors for who they are on this issue is exactly what they should be doing. Expose them. Let them be vulnerable on this issue for a change. And last night on the Tucker Carlson show, I put up photos of just a few of the recent victims of illegal immigrant crime just in the city of Chicago. And again, Mayor Emanuel believes that, you know, those people should stay. Is he actually working at all to get the violent criminals out of Chicago? It doesn't seem like it. And in fact, we have spikes in crime in cities like St. Louis, and Oakland, Chicago, some of it gang violence, some of it fueled by the, you know, the drug, you know, underworld. But I'm telling you, we need to get rid of every illegal immigrant before they commit these types of crimes. Before they commit these types of crimes, they should be deported out of the country. You see, like, these people who come on television shows and claim they're all for law and order, but they're for sanctuary cities, they actually don't believe people should be deported before they commit a violent crime. They say, well, yeah, well, after they commit a violent crime, we should deport them. And Senator Perdue, back to people like Marco Rubio, you know, Rubio says he's, you know, I guess he thinks it has some merit, your RAISE Act, limiting on the legal immigration side. It's different from the sanctuary city issue. But he said it has some merit, but it's not going to pass the Senate. So once again, the Republican resistance is your problem.
Well, we had a couple of senators, Marco and Lindsey Graham, also spoke about it. But what they haven't done is read the bill yet. And so we're not talking about the things they have reservations about. This is the classic problem. You've spoken about this on your program, Laura, that the people in Congress, people in Washington, tend to go for these comprehensive, sweeping solutions to the entire thing. That's never worked. It won't work this time. So all we've done is carved out the green card piece of immigration. That's all we've done. And it's really broken. And so what we've done is model this after something that Canada and Australia have already proven worked over the last few decades. And it's a merit-based system. That's all we're doing is moving to a merit-based system. It will actually double the number of skilled workers that we're bringing into the country. So I think once the Republicans and Democrats actually see the details of this, I think we'll find a little more bipartisan effort here to try to understand.
No, they're going to resist you.
And to move forward.
Senator, they're going to resist you every step of the way. The only way to get this through, Senator, the only way to get this through is to put unending and blistering pressure on the likes of Rubio, McCain, Flake, and all these Tom Tillis, all these never Trumpers. And I'm sorry, they're all never Trumpers. I know maybe they're friends of yours, but they're not friends of mine. Okay, well, I actually like Rubio, but they're resisting Trump's major initiatives that were very popular in November. And you and Senator Cotton You see the writing on the wall. You understand what's happened to America. And nobody voted for these immigration policies that flooded our country with low-skilled labor. Nobody voted for rampant homelessness among illegal immigrants in Los Angeles and San Francisco. Nobody voted for these policies. Nobody wanted this. So now you come along and say, okay, let's do this. This makes sense. Wildly popular, by the way. Nobody wants an increase in legal immigration. And yet the resistance that is really most disturbing comes from the Chamber of Commerce style Republicans who were for amnesty a few years ago and for amnesty back in 2006 and 2007 under Bush. Same people.
Well, it is a perfect example, Laura, of what you speak about a lot, and that is the disconnection between the establishment in Washington and people back home. People in Washington just can't understand how Donald Trump got elected. Look, this guy is making great progress in the first 6 months. I mean, the results are overwhelming. If a Democrat were getting these kind of results, the press would be going crazy. You know, and what we see here is bureaucrats in Washington and politicians who are saying, well, we'll outlast this guy. You know, he's not going to be successful. Well, I got a newsflash for everybody. He is being successful. I mean, just in the first 200 days. I mean, consumer confidence right now is at a 13-year high, Laura. And look at, I mean, southern border crossings are down over 60%. I mean, this is, I mean, and he's just getting started. And he's fighting the media in Washington, and he's fighting a lot of people in his own party, evidenced by what happened just recently on this health care vote last week.
Well, the health care vote, the reaction by Lindsey Graham, from Lindsey Graham on the RAISE Act. I mean, this is an issue where all the Republicans should be cheering the efforts of the president, you and Cotton, and say, you better believe it. We're sticking up for the American workers. We're going to have a sane immigration policy. We're going to reexamine our needs because we've deindustrialized America to such a rampant extent with these stupid trade policies we've had. So we don't have this need for massive low-skilled labor as we had perhaps decades and decades ago. We just don't have it. So the Republicans should be all for this, given what happened in Ohio, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, all these states that they said Trump was going to lose. So it's like they're the ones who seem to have a death wish, a political death wish.
Well, we have absolutely. There's a disconnect inside the Republican caucus. I mean, we have a Republican, in the White House. I mean, we're acting like it's someone from another party on some of these issues. And quite frankly, I think there are some people in our caucus who are sitting around waiting for him to fail. And that's not good enough. We're at a moment of truth in America. We all talk about it. This is a crisis that we're in, this financial crisis with all this debt we've piled up, this global security crisis right now that we've been left by an Obama administration that disengaged. I mean, this is a moment of truth, and this is when conservative values need to be brought to the fore. What we've come to, Laura, is after 100 years, and certainly after 8 years of the last president, we have proven over and over again these great, sweeping, liberal, progressive programs have failed. Look at the poverty rate. Look at the Postal Service, the VA. I mean, you can just name them all day. They have failed, and now we're at a moment of truth to prove, possibly, that the conservative values are the way to go, and yet we have people in our own caucus still debating those.
How often do the Democrats break ranks when they have leadership and they have the majority status? How often do they break ranks?
Well, I have not seen it in 2.5 years. What we've done typically is we split the Republican caucus and we unite the Democratic caucus. Now, there's a thing behind that, though, that most people outside of Washington, and I did not know this, and as an outsider of the system, it makes me sick. And that is their rules of their structure is different than ours. So their leader has much more power over their members. And believe me, I have watched them use that. They have learned how to block the Senate, even though they're in the majority, a minority. And we saw Harry Reid do that. Now we see Chuck Schumer doing that. And what that does, look at the confirmation process. This is the slowest confirmation process in our history because.
Well, what do we need to do, though, Senator? We know that. We're getting none of these folks confirmed. Got to change the rules. You got to have a majority rule. We just got to have 51 votes. I mean, I know nobody wants to do that, but.
Well, that's part of it. In my opinion, the legislative filibuster needs to be debated. Anybody that's nuked the judges and then gone with the reconciliation process for Obamacare, which the Republicans just did, then you got to say, well, wait a minute, the legislative filibuster is on the table as well. But it's beyond that. It's actually the committee rules and all that within the Republican caucus.
Well, they can change the rules.
Those have to be changed.
Yeah, well, that's Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell, the lion of the Senate, the new lion of the Senate can change the rules. So he has the power to do that, and let's see it done. But, I mean, we're slow-walking a lot of stuff on both sides, and the people are fed up. Senator Perdue, love what you're trying to do on immigration. We support it 100%. Let me know what I can do to help. Senator David Perdue from the great state of Georgia, one of the stars of the Republican Party, and actually standing up for this president's agenda. Stay with us.
The Laura Ingraham Show.